Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Brother Evan's text will be 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
Amen. Amen.
Morning, brethren.
Good morning.
As Sister Zoe said, the topic is the hopeful purify themselves. And let me read that text once more. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So, this purification of the saints comes from the looking ahead to the coming of Christ. It says, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So this is the appearance of Christ that we're talking about, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. So that's all fine and dandy to say, and that's what I thought when I first started studying this. But in a couple minutes, we're going to talk about why we purify ourselves as we see Christ coming. Why is this motivating to the believers to look up, look ahead and purify ourselves? But first, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17, and I'm going to read through chapter 7, verse 1. This also goes along with this. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God."
Amen.
So having these promises, let us perfect ourselves.
Amen.
Looking ahead, let us perfect ourselves. So, why does this looking ahead motivate us to be sanctified? Well, we are the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ will look ahead and see, we're going to meet the bridegroom one day. We better prepare ourselves. The same way that a bride prepares herself for her husband, the church prepares itself for Christ. Revelation 21:2 says, "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This is the key word of this sermon, is preparation, being prepared for the end. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the key word of this whole preaching festival, is be prepared for the end. Mm-hmm. Look ahead, see what's going to come, and prepare yourself for it.
Amen.
But we are the bride of Christ, and the bride seeks to do the will of the bridegroom. So we see the will of God. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 4 it says, the believer's sanctification is the will of God. We see that, and we say yes. We say yes, I want to be purified as well. This is God's will, this is my will as well.
Amen.
In Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27, Brother Ricky mentioned this last night. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." As the bride of Christ, this is our role. We are to be sanctified and not have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing in us when he comes. So when we look ahead to the coming of Christ, we see that God commands us to be purified. So that's a reason in and of itself. If the parents are coming home, they told you to do something before they got home, you see that they're coming, You're going to quick do it because they commanded you to do that. As we see God coming back to this earth, as we see that He commanded us to be purified, as we see that He is more powerful than we and that His will must be done, we purify ourselves because we see that He is coming. Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect."
Amen.
Is that not a call to sanctification? Be perfect.
Amen.
Next, we're the house of God. The house of God must be sanctified for His use. 1 Kings 6, verse 7 says, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." So as we look ahead and we see that we're the house of God, God is going to be dwelling in us. In a sense, He already is dwelling in us, but in a fuller sense then, He's going to be dwelling in us. We purify ourselves so that we can be like the stones for the temple that were made ready before the building of the house.
Amen.
So that no sound of a hammer needs to be heard in heaven. No purification needs to go on in heaven because the people of God are pure.
Amen.
Next, we're going to meet a king. And if you look in the law, you can see that when people would meet a king, many times there was a purification process they had to go through beforehand. Just as an example, in Esther, the women were prepared for a year before they were allowed to see the king. It was a year of preparation. God put together this is amazing, God put together this culture of preparing people before they could meet a king, to point to the church purifying itself before they can meet their king.
Amen.
Let's go to Daniel 1. We're going to read a couple sections in this passage. Not going to read the whole thing. But we're going to start with verse 3 through 5. So Babylon had conquered Israel, and they had brought away some of the children of Israel captive. And it says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom might teach, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongues of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof, they might stand before the king." So we see this setup. The king of Babylon is preparing these people to meet the king. He's preparing them 3 years with the king's meat. But verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with his portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And then we know this story. He asked to be given the pulse and be tried 10 days. Verse 14 says, "So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." So this is more than just an example of preparation to meet a king. If you look into this more, you can see that everyone was preparing themselves for the end. But Daniel was preparing himself in the way that honored God. In the same way, we are purifying ourselves in the way that honors God through sanctification. We're preparing ourselves for the end. And you can see everyone here thought Daniel was crazy for preparing in this way. And people on this earth think we're crazy for sanctifying ourselves in preparation for the home to come. But yet, the way that honored God was the one that prepared them best to meet the king. So So I'd like to make the point that God is the one purifying us. We are not, this is not an act of ourselves. We don't go up one day and decide, okay, I'm going to be purified and purify ourselves in this and purify ourselves in that, and we did it all and we're great. No, that's not how it works. God gives us the ability to be purified, and he shows us what needs to be purified as well. The only thing we have to do is take the opportunity that he gives us and purify ourselves. In John 17:17, Jesus is praying to the Father for the church. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth."
Amen.
So wait a second. Didn't it say they sanctify themselves? How is this saying God sanctify the church? How does that work? Well, he shows us what needs to be sanctified, and he gives us the ability to be sanctified. So this is not only our work, but yet God chooses to require our acceptance of this sanctification to be able to do it. So he gives us the ability to, and we need to take hold of that. And when he shows us what needs to be sanctified, we need to take hold of that and sanctify ourselves, and then his work is done.
Amen.
Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
So here it says, God of peace, make you perfect, working in you.
Amen.
So that's how he does it. He works in us to make us pure.
Amen.
He works in us through the Spirit he has given us.
Amen.
But if God works in us and God is the one purifying us, where is our role? I believe 1 Thessalonians 5:19 makes it pretty clear. It just says, "Quench not the Spirit." It's like God comes up. He's like, "Here's my Spirit. You can have this. It will work. It will work that which is good in my sight." And then it says, "Oh, by the way, don't quench it. Do what it says. Let it have its perfect work in you." That's quite possibly the best advice anyone has ever given, is quench not the Spirit, because if you let the Spirit have its perfect work in you, you will be holy. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
There's no way you can go wrong if you're following the Spirit.
Amen.
So also, God has given us freedom from sin to be able to purify ourselves. This isn't a matter to be looked over. This isn't something we could have overcome as well, because sin is bondage. And without God giving us strength to overcome it, there would be no sanctification at all.
Amen.
I'm going to read a passage in Romans 6, it's verses 17 through 22, and just listen to all the times it mentions that sin controls you. It says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, whereas ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. For what fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." That was five times in there. He said servant of sin or freed from sin. This was a bondage that every unbeliever is in, is under sin.
Amen.
Galatians 4, 8 and 9 says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now that after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" be in bondage to sin. Do you think the Israelites could have come out from Egypt without God's help? No. They were in bondage to Egypt. In the same way, we were in bondage to sin until God set us free from it and allowed us to be purified. I'd like to just make a couple more points. First of all, this sanctification isn't optional. This should have been clear when I was talking about why we're sanctified. If we're the house of God, of course we need to be sanctified. If we're the bride of Christ, of course we need to be sanctified. If we're going to meet a king, of course we need to be sanctified. But also I thought we'd look at just one verse that talks about that. It's Matthew 25, verses 24 through 29. This is actually the parable of the talents that Jesus was speaking about. It says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou were a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, here thou hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put up my money to the exchangers, and that in my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." So the reason I read this parable is that it points out the fact that God demands increase. This is part of the nature of God, that he wants increase. The things of God, naturally, they grow stronger and stronger as the things of this earth grow weaker and weaker. God demands increase. He demands that the people of God be sanctified. He demands that their holiness increase, that through him they purify themselves. Finally, the new believer obviously is not perfect. As we look through this, we can see we're talking about sanctification, and we see that the new believer isn't perfect. Isn't perfect in his works. Anyone who believes that is going to be severely disappointed. But this imperfection in the new believer doesn't come from a wrong heart. When we're saved by God, he gives us his own heart. He gives us a good heart to want what's right. The only thing that's missing is the knowledge. So as God gives us more and more knowledge, as he shows us more and more things that are not pleasing to him, then he can help us to sanctify those out of our lives. And that's his form of purification. However, this does not give us an excuse to sin. Saying that the new believer isn't perfect isn't saying, well, it's fine, he can sin once in a while because he's not perfect. No, it's simply from the fact that he doesn't have as much knowledge as the older believer, that he isn't purified as much. As God gives us more knowledge, he shows us what's right and what's wrong. He gives us a knowledge of the truth, and that is how he purifies us. So in summation, we need to look to the end and sanctify ourselves because we are going to be the bride of Christ. God has commanded this sanctification. He's going to come back and judge the earth. We are going to be the house of God. We need to be sanctified for the Master's use. We're going to meet a king. We need to have this this preparation beforehand. God has given us the power over the flesh and Satan, and he guides us in our purification. So all we need to do is look at that and take a hold of the opportunity he's given us and sanctify ourselves. So look to the end and sanctify yourself through the tools that God has given you. Do you have comments or corrections you'd like to bring up?
I really appreciated your message, Brother Evan. I appreciated comparing yours with Brother Ricky's last night. Now, Brother Ricky brought out how that marriage is a is like a foreshadowing of the marriage between Christ and the church. But as you pointed out, see that we're, you know, there's a sense in which marriage in the world the likeness breaks down, and one of the ways that the likeness breaks down is that, as you pointed out very well, is that we're in when we talk about the church, Christ and the church, see, we're not talking about equals.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're in the world, you know, when a husband and wife get married, they're more or less, you know, the scripture does say that he is thy Lord and worship thou him, and, you know, and he shall rule over thee. But there's a sense in which husbands and wives are more or less equals. But see, that's not the case with the church and Christ. Like an example you pointed out was with, even though it was a heathen king, you know, back in Esther, mm-hmm. and the women that were preparing for a year to mm-hmm. be in the presence of the king. Now, that's a foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a likeness to Christ and the church. See, that aspect of it. And then when you talk about in Revelation 21 there, he said it's a bride adorned not for each other, but mm-hmm. a bride adorned for her husband. See, so here's mm-hmm. the parallel breaks down because it's not a marriage between equals. Mm-hmm. Now we're fellows, you know, like the man which we're fellows, but we're not equals.
Mm-hmm.
The point that you made about sanctification and who does it, it's actually both, of course. The Lord sanctifies mm-hmm. and we sanctify ourselves, mm-hmm. but it's the same work.
Yeah.
It's not something that he's doing without our involvement, and it's not something that we're doing just of our own strength and of our own mm-hmm. initiative. We're both involved in it. This has always been the divine way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he put Adam and Eve in a garden and said, tend it. You know, he revealed the flood to Noah and said, build the ark. You know, could God have just dropped the ark down? Well, of course, but Noah was commissioned, and he's always been that way. The Lord has always involved people in work. And I got to thinking, as you brought up that point, about if the Lord had not done this, if we were not laboring with the Lord now in the work that he's doing, then what would we be ready for in the world to come?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says that we're going to go from talents to cities. You know, we're over talents now
mm-hmm.
as stewards. Be thou over five cities, over 10 cities. So it's gonna be so much greater of a work there in the world to come. And our work now is that preparation that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said, he that hath his hope in him, his hope in Christ appearing, mm-hmm. purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And this is taken up with Brother Aaron, and both you and Brother Aaron have been saying here, but the purification process is not something we do of ourselves, but nevertheless we are very much involved with, engaged mm-hmm. in this, but it's we're drawing on the resources that come from the Lord himself.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated the parallel you made between Esther coming to the king, because it was the requirement of the king that moved them to do what they did. They gave them the prospect of meeting the king, and that was really good to make that connection, because purifying ourselves is not a burden and a drudgery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a woman that is preparing herself for the husband she deeply loves wants to be as beautiful, yeah, according to his criterion,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as much as possible.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
She desires to do this. It's not a burden. See, and for the saint, as our love for Christ increases and we have this great anticipation of meeting him, that helps this thing not to be a burden. We're not
Amen.
Burdened by separating ourselves from the things that don't please them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for that. When people think about holiness from the outside, they typically don't think of it in terms of something that brings satisfaction and joy and delight. It seems like it's a major burden, but it's not a burden to the saints.
Amen.
They love Christ, They want to be exactly what he wants them to be, and so they are entering into the process out of love for him, mm-hmm. and out of the anticipation of being with him where he is, to be exactly what he wants them to be.
Amen.
And as we look to Christ, the things of this earth are going to grow dim. They're gonna seem small and insignificant and not necessary and burdensome to us even, the things this earth do. And so we want to be sanctified because we see what's important and we see what's going to honor God in the end.
God has provided the resources we need to go through that process, whether it's being the brethren, the Holy Spirit's a big part of it. He's provided all these resources. Lots of money.
Amen. Amen.
See also that we won't be accepted if we aren't sanctifying ourselves. There's something wrong with us.
Amen.
It's not a true faith if the sanctification
yes.
isn't happening.
Amen.
Yeah.
You brought up this one talent man, and I'd like to just comment on the difference between him and the other two. Now of course we're reading between the lines when we say this, and you judge for yourself this interpretation or not. But see now. This man, he did not have an affinity to his Lord,
mm-hmm.
whereas the other ones did. See, they were rejoicing. See, they sensed this relation, this nearness and this affinity mm-hmm. with him, and therefore their works proceeded out of that. Mm-hmm. But this, the one talent man, see, he sensed that he talked like he was alienated. He talked mm-hmm. like an alienated person. See, and so no fruit could come from that. See, he was just.
Thank you. Thank you, brethren, for your comments and attention.